Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of the JRPG Report. My name is Alden Suter, and joining me, as always, is my good buddy
Cloud Strife here. How's everybody doing?
My Cloud, you look a lot different these days.
People are calling me Mikola for some reason. I don't understand why, but whatever.
I don't know, man, but like, it's like you're much less polygonal. You look more like a normal human being. I'm impressed. There's nothing chibi about you.
Not interested. It's Team Retrogue, if you guys haven't figured it out.
How you doing this week, buddy?
I am hype.
I bet you are.
The only word that I can explain. I actually just posted in the JRPG Discord, patreon.com/JRPG report, if you want to get in on the Discord, that this episode was going to be a hype-isode. Because at time of recording, it is Thursday, February 29th, a leap year, and I am sitting here wearing a Final Fantasy VII Rebirth hat and holding my copy of Rebirth still in the plastic because I haven't beaten Remake yet.
Hold that up again for me. I know this is an audio form, so that's massive, bro.
This is the deluxe edition.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, bro, that's the case. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, the only reason I got the deluxe edition is because in 2020, you know, when Trump was running for president and we were looking forward to a Final Fantasy game, my wife bought me the deluxe edition of Remake. So in 2024, when Trump is running for president and we are looking forward to a Final Fantasy game, I decided to get myself the deluxe edition.
Right. You got to make yourself feel better whichever ways you can. I totally get it.
Yeah. So we got matching. It looks exactly the same as Remake, except it says PS5 instead of PS4 on it. But
and that came out today as we're recording, correct?
Today.
That's awesome.
Yep. February 29th. The game was ready, like, you know, a couple months ago, but they had to drag it out.
Oh, of course.
They picked the leap year day. They could have probably done, like, mid-February, February 20th. Nope. They had to throw it out on the 29th, on the leap year day. So, hopefully by next recording, I'll finally have time to dive into that, and I could do some, like, initial impressions. But for now, I sit humbly on the hype train in chapter 17 of Remake, which is the second to last chapter. So I'm hoping to get that done before the weekend, and then I can sit and play some Rebirth.
I'll have to buy Remake eventually and play it. I know that the next RPG that's coming up for Steam Machine relatively soon is Mega Dimension Neptunia Victory 2. And I have a feeling that the boys are going to need an RPG that they like after that. I really like Mega Dimension. I like the Neptunia games.
So I'm currently playing a little bit of a Vita version.
Which one?
PP. I forget what PP means. But you basically play like a producer, and you pick like one of four girls, and you produce their concert career.
I have never heard of that one.
I think it's called Producing Perfection, and it's a Vita exclusive.
That's why, then, because, yeah, I don't have a Vita.
Yeah. I'm not playing this on a Vita. I'm actually playing it on a different handheld, because I'm going to be showing off Vita emulation very soon on my channel. I decided to pick Vita exclusives that work on the handheld, and that's one of them. And, my God, Mega Dimension is weird.
Weird. It's very weird. It's a lot of reading. It's definitely
there's a lot of reading
visual novel style for a lot of it, but like, man, it can be really funny.
And then I saw one of the characters transform or like put a different outfit on, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna put this down for a bit, play this when I'm not around other people.
When they go through the EXE drive and they come out and they're the big goddesses.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm not going to go into further detail than that because it's a family-friendly podcast, but
they're
next time
they're
I'm
ample.
On...
they're ample. That's the
they're
way
they're ample.
They're ample, yeah.
Ample. They are well-endowed humans.
Very
actually,
ample.
I think they're robots, but either way.
So how have you
been, Dalton?
I love Neptune, though. She's one of my favorite protagonists. She's just so funny to me. How have I been? I've been all right, man. Very tired. Work is kicking my butt. constantly. it's been interesting. I took Lilith to the vet today. She got all of her final shots, so she is now up to date and good for a year at least. So I'm happy about that. My wallet is also happy about that. Because now it's just getting her spayed in a few months from now, and then also keeping up with her flea and heartworm medication, stuff like that.
Nice. But yeah. Go puppy.
Not too terribly much on the JRPG side for me. I have been dabbling in Victory 2, like I said, for the Mega Dimension Neptunia game for the show, just getting a head start on it. But I've been playing a lot of Red Dead Online with Nate and Willie, just doing cowboy stuff, fishing, hunting, that kind of thing. And I've been playing some Guild Wars 2. But man, there's an itch inside of me that I know that Mega Dimension Neptunia, as much as I love those games, is not going to scratch. And, you know, it's me deciding what I'm going to throw at the boys. Not my next host pick, because I don't want to go from... Well, I'll have a conversation with them, because if they both play it for an hour and they're like, we don't like this, then I'm going to throw whatever I want at them. But if they put some time into it, I don't want to throw another JRPG directly at them, just to keep it different, you know what I mean? But I will tell you right now, bouncing back and forth in my head as choices for this year are Star Ocean, Final Fantasy VII Remake, and I think I said two, but there are three bouncing around in my head, and Sea of Stars. So it's like, there are some JRPGs I really want to play, but it's hard to make myself commit to playing a game not for the show, because I have to take my time away from it for the show, if that makes any sense.
No, I understand completely. But if either one of those comes up on Steam Machine, you know I'm totally invading that show.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know you want to be there for Remake, Star Ocean, or Sea of Stars, I think.
So it's like, correct.
Yeah.
I have all three of those. I mean, I'm about to beat Remake, so I'm not going to replay it for the show, but I'll have played it recently enough that I will have plenty to say. But the other two, I just have been meaning to play for a long time, and if you guys give me an excuse, I'm in.
I would really like to get the boys' opinion on Star Ocean. I am so, every time I load that game up, I haven't gotten super far in it yet, but every time I load it up, I am so impressed with how they made that game visually. It is like a marvel to behold, in my opinion, the way that they blended the 2D with the 3D so well.
They need to do that for Chrono Trigger.
That would be awesome.
If they do that for Chrono Trigger, it will be beautiful. It does not need to be a full remake, but give it the HD 2D treatment and just prettify it. And maybe touch up the mechanics a little bit, but I feel like the gameplay is kind of timeless. And then just make a great game. That game is way overdue for a re-release with all these other games that they're remastering. It's surprising to me they haven't touched that one.
It is very strange, but it's almost like Chrono Trigger is like this sacred holy grail.
It is. At least that's could be the way they're thinking of it. But the only way to play it, if you don't have like a DS or a Super Nintendo or a way to emulate, is to get it on Steam, and the Steam version isn't the best way to play.
Yeah. My recommendation is always, if you can't do the DS version, emulate the DS version on your cell phone.
Yeah.
Like, it's easily doable. It's easily playable that way.
You don't need the second screen. That's just a map. So yeah, you can completely cut that out and just blow up the top screen.
Or if you want, play with both. Like, whatever floats your boat, dude. Mm. There are ways to play the best version. And in my opinion, the best version is the DS version.
I actually have the DS version, and I have a DSi XL that I modded. And honestly, if you have a DSi XL, it's pixel perfect dimensions. Both screens are IPS screens, so they're nice and bright. Don't play it on a 3DS, because those are hit or miss. But if you could play it on an original DSi XL, chef's kiss. Great way to play Chrono Trigger. And if you can't, yeah, Drastic on your phone if you have Android. If you have an iPhone, tough cookies, get the iOS version, I guess.
All right.
But, anyway, I digress.
You about ready to get into some news, my good sir?
I am ready to get into some news, sir. There's quite a bit of it.
All right. Okay, so the Tokyo Game Show one, I'm just going to briefly touch on that. They have released an outline for Tokyo Game Show 2024, and there's a lot to it. So if you are interested in that, definitely go check it out. I'm looking for specifics of Okay, so yeah, this is just for exhibition stuff. So yeah, it doesn't look like anything's been laid out yet, but they have laid out like dates and things like that. So that would that's gonna be cool
when it eventually comes around. So June 10th to June 27th. Am I looking at that right?
No.
Okay. Tokyo... Oh no, here we go. September 26th to 29th.
Yes, at Makuhari Mesa in Chiba, Japan.
Do you think we can get in as press, considering we are a JRPG newscast?
If we could afford to get to Tokyo, maybe.
Yeah, that there's the rub right there.
Yeah. that's two very long flights for me and you, my good sir.
Indeed.
Although I would least try to fly up to you and then us fly so I could at least try to sit next to you, have somebody to talk to on the plane over exactly. All the way to Japan.
Play some games together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the first main news story that I have is that the Granblue Fantasy Relink version 1.1.0 update is launching March 14th. Publisher Cygames and developer Cygames Osaka will release the version 1.1.0 update for Granblue Fantasy Relink on March 14th. It will add the Lucilius boss fight, a battle that Cygames previously described as, quote, extremely challenging. More details about this update will be announced during the Granblue Fantasy 10th Anniversary special live stream on March 9th. And the game is now available for PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC via Steam as on February 1st. So that is now out.
It's out.
If you want to check it out, it looks really pretty. I've seen some screenshots from it that look amazing. So I am I'm interested in it. I don't know if I'll drop the money on it quite yet, but it's one of those that's like, man, I should check that out. I don't know if I ever will, but I should.
Yeah, I look at it and I'm like, you know what? This is a game I really need to play. And then usually something else will take my time. You know, on the bright side, I'm playing less Final Fantasy XIV these days because this next story is about the game that I will more than likely be spending a lot of my time on for at least the next month or so.
Yeah, this one's all you, baby.
I'll do the next two because they're both Rebirth and I'm on the hype train for it. So, Square Enix has released the launch trailer for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, the second entry in the three-part Final Fantasy VII Remake project following 2020's Final Fantasy VII Remake. The company also released comments from the producers and the director, Tetsuya Nomura. So, what Tetsuya Nomura says is, for many years, I wondered what a remake of Final Fantasy VII could look like. Above all else, I felt we would need to do justice to the characters and story that had become so beloved by fans around the world. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth delivers on this vision and vastly expands upon the original title, not only in the size of its world, but in the quiet moments shared by party members, where warmth, joy, sorrow, and tenderness can be found. As they press on and forge deeper bonds en route to their ultimate fate, I hope you will open your heart to feel these feelings alongside them. As the second title in a trilogy, we've enjoyed hearing our fans' feedback from the previous title and incorporating elements into Rebirth for a truly breathtaking follow-up. Thank you for playing our vision for a remake in which the past is honored by the possibilities of the present to reimagine a story for future generations. Key features of the game. After escaping from the dystopian city of Midgar, Cloud and his friends set out on a journey across the planet. New adventures await in a vibrant and vast world. Sprint across grassy plains on a chocobo and explore expansive environments. As the party searches for Sephiroth, you will explore the beautiful, expansive regions of the world and open up new areas to discover. Dig deeper into the world of Final Fantasy VII with rewarding side content and minigames, plus various unique forms of transportation to navigate the world. Combine strategic thinking with thrilling action combat alongside your comrades, including newly added characters, deepen their relationships to unleash powerful team-based combos. And in this standalone adventure for fans and newcomers, Cloud and his comrades venture across the planet, their fates unwritten, making each step outside the dystopian city of Midgar fresh and mysterious. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is due out for PlayStation 5 today. worldwide.
Yeah.
And Final Fantasy VII Rebirth scored a 38 out of 40 from Famitsu.
Yeah, so we got a 10, a 10, a 10, and an 8.
Yeah.
And I also want to throw
around. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I also wanted to throw in that Unicorn Overlord got straight nines.
And again, both games takes about 40 hours to clear the story and over 100 hours to complete everything.
Yeah, so, that's my kind of game right there.
Exactly. The problem is with those games is I only have like one or two a year in me.
Yeah.
So like I'll have Rebirth and then I would love to play Unicorn Overlord, but like I'm not going to have another 100 hour game in me. I'm going to need to play some shorter stuff. Or I'll go back to 14 for a little bit, mess around in there, and then find another longer, bigger game to play.
Or you could come play Guild Wars.
Don't do that to me.
Just saying.
Once you have... No, I can't say it. Family-friendly podcast.
It's buy to play. It's buy to play. You don't have to pay a month.
I already have it. I already have it.
There you go. Save yourself some money and still get your MMO kick. Oh, Lord. Anyway, that's a conversation for off podcast.
Yeah. But speaking of MMOs, do you wanna cover this next one? Because this is something that I am going back to 14 just to do this, and then I'm probably not going to play 14 for a little bit afterwards.
Yeah, so starting February 28th, so yesterday as of this recording, and going until March 13th, 2024, Final Fantasy 14 is bringing back its Final Fantasy 15 crossover, the collaboration event A Nocturne for Heroes. And you can get the Regalia Type G 4-seater mount, the Lucian Prince costume set, modern aesthetics, Lucian locks, orchestral rolls, and more. So basically, you can unlock the car, which I have, and you were very jealous of.
Yeah, and now I'm going to get that car.
And you can also unlock the outfit and hairstyle of Noctis, so you can make your character look like Noctis if you want.
I'm also going to do the hairstyle, because it looks really great in a cat person.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
So Noctis was just missing some ears and a tail. Yeah, exactly. But I've never had a problem with Noctis as a character. I didn't even have a problem with 15. A lot of people hated 15. I thought it was a good game. Great gameplay loop. The story stunk at the end.
See,
it was great until the end.
I never beat the story. I remember I stopped listening to a podcast because it was this guy and this girl who I love them both dearly. They're both very good people. But she spent 20 minutes or so going on and on about how much she couldn't stand Final Fantasy 15 because it was just a bro trip and she had no way to relate to it and all this type of stuff. And I was thinking to myself, like, well, then it just wasn't the game for you. It doesn't mean the game sucked.
Yeah, right. And that's fine. You can utilize a podcast as your platform of choice to express that opinion that it wasn't the game for you, but it's not going to be the same opinion as everybody else.
Yeah, and it was a Final Fantasy 14 podcast. So, I mean, it got brought up when this crossover first came up, which is why I thought about it. I was like, the first time this crossover came around was when it was like, all right.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you for wanting to hold back on that a little bit. Well, I don't know. You could say the game's not good or the game wasn't for me or I dislike this about this game. I don't know, 20 minutes. I mean, I know I tend to be long-winded, but geez.
Yeah, and I might be exaggerating, but even still, it was a long time to just sit there and complain about it. And I'm like, yeah, I bet that podcast isn't even around anymore now, so, you know.
Oh, really? Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I do enjoy 15. I like the world. I like the gameplay loop. I just wish the ending were different. I may go back and play that game again someday, just to go through the story again.
Yeah, maybe I'll beat it one of these days.
Yeah, I know. For the show,
I did have a mod on the Steam version that I could change. Like, you could change the outfits of your characters.
Okay, that's cool.
And I could make them. They were all different Power Rangers.
That's hilarious.
It was awesome, dude.
That's kind of funny. Yeah, no, I enjoyed it for what it was. I mean, unfortunately, they did make some mistakes, but you know, it's a good gameplay loop. I didn't mind it, and I didn't mind the whole road trip thing. But again, I've been on road trips, so I can relate. All right. Anyway, you want to do the next one because you're probably a little bit more hyped about that than I am, and then I'll cover the next couple.
Yeah, this is just something I found cool. So Compile Heart has announced that PlayStation 4 and Switch ports of the previously released Neptunia series titles, the latest issue of Weekly Famitsu, has revealed. So Switch is going to be getting Hyper Dimension Neptunia Rebirth 1, Rebirth 2 Sisters Generation, and Rebirth 3 Victory Generation, or V Generation for short. Due out May 23rd in Japan for 5,280 yen each, which I believe is actually relatively cheap. A bundle including all three titles will also be available for 11,880 yen.
Japan which, only, I'm guessing.
For now, yeah. But I'm guessing that that 11,000 yen, that's only like, what, 20 bucks?
I'm the wrong person to ask. I am terrible at math.
Oh, okay. I was way wrong. 11,880 yen is about $79.
Oh, wow. That is not even close to 20. Yeah, so that means that each game is probably about 20.
About 20. Maybe like yeah, each game is probably about 20 bucks.
Yeah, that makes a little bit more sense.
And then the release dates and pricing have yet to be announced for the PlayStation 4 versions, but PlayStation 4 is getting Rebirth 2 and Rebirth 3.
Why 4?
Why PlayStation 4?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a that's an interesting choice.
I mean, they might be where you can get the upgrade. I mean, you can just play them on your 5 too, I'm sure, but...
Well, yeah, but you're not going to be playing them with 5 graphics. Although I guess they are making a remake of Rebirth 1
PS5,
and they're calling it Reverse.
Yeah. PlayStation 4 version of Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 1 already exists in the form of Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 1 Plus. Compileheart previously also released a PlayStation 5 remake of Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 1 called Neptunia Reverse, like you just said.
Yeah. Sounds like they're Sony games, but they're probably available on PC too, because... You guys are going to be playing one for the show.
All of the original Neptunia games are... Well, I shouldn't say original. The Rebirth series is on Steam, plus a lot of the spinoffs. The original Hyperdimension Neptunia 1, 2, and 3 were PS3 games, and they were remade into Rebirth, which was for the Vita, and then those were released other places.
Got it. Okay. So, if you like Hyperdimension Neptunia, you might get some new ways to play it in the future. TBD.
Yeah.
All right, something that's a little bit more up my alley, but I can't say that I'm as thrilled about it as I thought I would be. Pokemon Legends ZA releases on Switch in 2025. During the latest Pokemon Presents held on February 2024 to celebrate Pokemon Day, Nintendo and the Pokemon Company revealed that Pokemon Legends ZA will be the next mainline title in the Pokemon Legends series. The game will be set in the Kalos region, which first debuted in the Gen 6 titles Pokemon X and Y. The reveal trailer focused on the urban development plans for Lumio City and showed how the city looks like in the present day. While the previous Legends games focused on a past version of the Sinnoh region called the Hisui region, we still don't know in what era of the Pokemon history this game will be set in. In addition, the return of the Mega Evolution mechanic in the new Legends game was teased at the end of this trailer. The new Pokemon Legends game will be the second title in the sub-series. This line of games started with the release of Pokemon Legends Arceus on January 28, 2022 for the Switch. The Legends games feature a more freedom open-world gameplay style, which is open zone, not open world, rather than traditional turn-based battles. Pokemon Legends ZA is currently in development and will appear worldwide for the Nintendo Switch on 2025. So I'll be brief, but I have a couple of things I have to say about this. One, we are not, more than likely, not getting a Pokemon game in 2024. Two, the rumors I am hearing is that this is going to be an action RPG, which is going to be interesting. The rumors are also saying that the game is going to take place entirely in Lumio City, which means that they're going to either make the city really big or it's going to be a weird game. So my advice would be to all of you fine listeners who love your Pokemon games, temper your expectations for this one because Legends Arceus was phenomenal and I'm very concerned that lightning is not going to strike twice with this one. And I hope to heck I'm wrong. I also have to say, personally, after playing Nexomon Extinction and Pal World, I have become oddly disillusioned by what the future of Pokemon holds because there are so many better monster catching games out there. And Game Freak and Nintendo are not figuring it out. And it's a little concerning to the point where I personally am starting to wonder if I'm going to play another Pokemon game again. That's a 20-minute wow. rant, but that's my little Pokemon rant.
I mean, I can't say I blame you, man. You know, it's not like there hasn't been enough innovation in that series in a long time, in my opinion.
I agree.
So,
and I understand, like, they're trying to appease new people and people that have been playing the game for, what, 30 years at this point? So I get it, but the magic is starting to wear off for me. And I hope it doesn't start to wear off for the target demographic.
Yeah, it would be weird to live in a world without Pokemon going.
Right? But I don't think it's anything. It's not going to go the way of, like, Star Fox or Metroid or anything where you get, like, a game, like, every, like, decade if you're lucky. But it makes too much money for that. But it's definitely starting to lose its, like, original audience. But anyway, that's enough. That's enough of my rant on the Pokemons. Do you want to talk about the next Bravely game?
Yeah, sure. Square Enix has teased an announcement for the new Bravely series game, which will come later in 2024. This information came from a post on social media celebrating the third anniversary of Bravely Default 2. The tweet in question shows a piece of commemorative art as well as a message thanking everyone for their comments at the end of 2023 and the beginning of 2024. Tomoya Asano, the producer of Bravely Default 2, noted at the end of the post that fans of the Bravely series can expect a new announcement sometime this year. He asked that people keep their eyes on Square Enix's social media account for a game series for the game series for the new reveal. Asano also tweeted that there is a sale on Bravely Default 2 until February 26th, 2024, which this has already happened. Sorry. But you'll be able to purchase the game for half price. The game came out in 2021 and is the third installment in the Bravely series. Unlike the previous two games, it has a new story instead of characters, but keeps the basic battle system throughout. While there are three main games for the Bravely series, there have been plenty of spin-offs. The most recently one is Bravely Default Brilliant Lights, which is a Japan-only mobile game. So far, Square Enix has not made any announcements in regarding to an international release, and this game uses the same battle system as the other games and also lets players encounter characters from the mainline titles. Bravely Default 2 is readily available on Nintendo Switch and Windows PC.
They should re-release the first one for PC.
Yeah, even the one that I have for 3DS, it's the Bravely Second, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I know it originally made its debut in the 3DS, and you can emulate 3DS pretty decently now. I still think it could do with a PC port. You don't really need the second screen anyway, so I'm sure they'd be able to figure it out. But you don't really need to play the first one to play the second one anyway, so I guess it's not that big a deal. But I have Bravely Default 2. It's just unfortunately on the back burner, like several other JRPGs in my life. All right, next story is about a game called Shin Megami Tensei V Vengeance, which is coming this year. One of the Atlus games appearing at the February 2024 Nintendo Direct was Shin Megami Tensei V Vengeance. The Nintendo Switch exclusive launched in 2021, and this is an updated version for the Switch, PS4, PS5, PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X that will arrive on June 21st, 2024. SMT5 is the latest entry in the modern-day RPGs. Following an earthquake, player's ordinary high school avatar ends up in a decimated desert version of Tokyo. It's then that players become the Nahobino, fusing together with a god named Ogami, forgive my butchering of that, to become an entirely new entity. They then end up working with a government agency called Bethel to learn more about what's going on and attempt to save humanity. Like other entries in the series, your actions and alignment can determine the fate of the world. We'll learn even more about it soon. At 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time, there will be a dedicated showcase in Japan going over the title, which I believe probably already happened. Over the past few years, Atlus has consistently and regularly released SMT entries worldwide. For example, the HD remaster of Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne showed up worldwide on PS4, Switch, and PC. The same happened with SMT 4 and its Apocalypse follow-up for the Nintendo 3DS. Shin Megami Tensei V Vengeance will come to the Switch on June 21st, 2024, and the original game is immediately available on the Nintendo Switch worldwide. So if you haven't gotten into SMT5 yet, you may want to wait for the updated version. And that's kind of Atlas's MO. They will release the game, and then they'll release the game again like a few years later with add-ons.
Yeah, they seem to do that with all the Shin Megami Tensei games, even Persona.
Yeah, yeah. And I had a friend who actually told me once that Persona is basically Shin Megami Tensei easy mode.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
So, we're talking about monster catching games. If you want a hard monster catching game, play some SMT.
Play some Shin Megami Tensei, yeah, for sure. it'll wake you up for sure.
Exactly.
Well, my good sir,
our news.
That's all we got, yeah.
Yeah, you beat me to it.
That's all we got. So that just leaves some house cleaning, and then we'll get up out of here, my good sir, so you can get back to the Final Fantasy VII-ness, and I can get back to whatever I decide to do.
Being a cowboy.
If you want to check us out over on Facebook with all the tumbleweeds, it is facebook.com/JRPGReport. You want to check us out over on Twitter/X @JRPGReport. If you would like to donate to the show, which helps a lot and really helps with the motivation to do this, even though I'm completely exhausted, that is patreon.com/JRPGReport. You can come join, get access to the Discord, get your name read on each and every episode. Like these wonderful folks right here, Jake W., Jordan K., Kularian, Master Loot, and Kana. Appreciated very, very much. You want to check me out each and every, not each and every week, every other week on the Steam Machine podcast, is my podcast where me and my buddies Nate and Willie play through our PC backlogs. And right now we are playing some game that Willie picked. Observation Duty 4, I think is what it's called. I have no idea.
Sounds like a Willie pick.
It's definitely a Willy pick. But after that, we're going to be doing some Neptunia. So it should be fun if you guys want to tune into that. My good sir, do you have anything that you would like to plug?
Team Retro on YouTube. All my Discord links are there for Steam Machine, for Retro Handhelds. Patreon.com/JRPGReport if you want to talk to me in that Discord. And get good, Willy.
Well, on that note, everybody, do me the biggest solid that you've done all week, get back out there and level up.